This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy even stronger and become a member. joy.org.au.
You are on Saturday Magazine with Nevena and Macca. We are joined by our second guest in the studio this morning. A very warm welcome to the Minister for Environment, Tourism, Sport, Major Events, Outdoor Recreation. That is, in fact, Steve Demopoulos. Welcome to Saturday Magazine.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure to be here. It's been a little while.
It's been a little while, and it's great to have you in the studio. And you're actually coming back in January too.
If that's what you tell me, Matt.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny, everyone says that.
I've got to say, though, with these kind of jobs, you don't look at your diary too far in advance.
No, no. So how far ahead, you know, as a minister, how far ahead have you got engagements? Would it be a year?
Oh, not really. I think probably only a couple of months, or 3 months. Yeah. Because when it gets further than that, you know,
anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
That's right. A couple of personal questions, if I may.
Oh, here we go.
What's your drag name?
My drag name? I reckon, what do they say? Is it your first dog and your first suburb or something?
It can be.
I don't know, Dolores or something maybe. I don't
Dolores?
I'm thinking of something with a D. I don't know. I haven't given it too much thought, Macca, but
we're going to run a competition. We want a drag name for Moira Deeming.
Oh, right.
Okay. That's a different D. Let's stick with the D that we have in the studio. The wonderful Steve Demopoulos.
Let's try Dolores.
Dolores. Okay. Actually, we have to give it, because Demopoulos is Greek, we're going to have to give it a little, little bit of a... Yeah. I did have a friend of mine who did drag a couple of times, and his drag name was Miss Baklava.
Mine would have to be Miss Toboriko. That's my favourite one. The semolina custard cake. It's beautiful, yeah. It's beautiful. Mum makes it really
fantastic. And the other one is you and the former Premier Dan Andrews were good mates, good colleagues. It's different now. Jacinta Allen is the Premier, and do you miss him? Like as a friend, as a colleague?
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah.
But as a friend and a colleague. And in fact, I saw him at the NGV gala, and I went and gave him a hug and a kiss as friends. I do with all my friends, straight or gay, and so we've made a commitment to catch up, which would be very nice. With Kath as well, and my husband, but that's not to say anything. I love Jacinta.
Oh no,
I genuinely love Jacinta. She's been around for a long time. She's one of the most decent, normal, smart people to ever grace politics in this state. She's fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, you knew that Dan spoke at Joy's 30th anniversary AGM, and the thing that impresses me about Dan is his ability to speak off the cuff. And when he actually did the opening speech of the Pride Centre here, he had, you know, some papers with him, and he said, oh, you know, I've got a speech here which, you know, my staff have written for me, and he folded it and put it in his suit pocket, and I looked at a couple of the staffers and they're like,
And, unscripted.
Yeah, and he, but you know, that ability to speak unscripted, you know, is a real talent. I know, you know, you're able to do that as well. It's a real talent for a politician to actually be able to do that.
Thank you. I would never be on the same plane as Dan on that. But it's interesting. Two things to say quickly on that. One is if you go ahead of the game, you think, okay, what is the purpose of what I'm doing here? Mm. Who am I speaking with or to? Why does it matter? And you really get in touch with your own values.
Yeah.
That's what Dan does. And you can speak, I think, quite authentically. And then the only thing you have to remember is to switch off.
Of course.
To turn it off. But, you know, just on, I've got to say, and this is a bit of mutual love, but it's real, the fact that he came and spoke after he left office.
Yes.
Says a lot about him, but also says a lot about you. So this station, the Pride Centre, you, Macca, and the other people that drive the relationship between the Victorian government have for the last decade or more, there's a bunch of you, and it's meaningful. It's meaningful for this government. It's meaningful for you, I know, and it's reciprocal. It's not transactional at all, and that is demonstrated by the fact that he had nothing to gain politically by coming here after his office. His term, you know, office.
Well, thanks for that, Steve. I appreciate it. But the timeline is that I asked Dan in an SMS 3 or 4 days before he announced his resignation. And he said, yep, sure, Macca, no problem, we're on. And then, of course, he resigned, and I went, oh. And I gave him a couple of days, and I messaged him, and he said, yep, no, still on.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And, that was great. It was a great speech, but to get to where we are, you know, in Victoria, we've seen this week, you may not have seen it, but the Reason Party isn't able to sustain enough membership to stay as a registered political party, and which, of course, you know, Fiona Patten didn't win her seat back at the last election. As one of the great progressive voices in the parliament, what are your thoughts? I mean, apart from, progressive.
Well, no, she's a loss.
Yeah.
I think Fiona is an outstanding human being. When you think about how one person, of course, with a government that is a partner, because you can't, one vote doesn't carry the day, but one person who set an agenda to get 3 or 4 key things done, and she got about 10 done, you know, it's pretty amazing. There are people who spend 20 years in that place and don't get half of what Fiona done, don't get done what Fiona got done. She's extraordinary. And I reckon when I reflect on why, she's clear on what she wants to achieve, whether it be the exclusion zones around abortion clinics or fond assisted dying or things that the Labor Party also supported. But sometimes you need, because we're a broad-based party, we're a progressive party. There's a bit more license sometimes that people like Fiona have to get on the journey with us. And I think she's clear on what she wanted. She was clear on what she wanted to achieve. But do you know more than that? She was just fundamentally decent.
Yeah.
You walk down the corridor of Parliament, there are some that snarl at you, and she's never one of those people. And, you know, that means you want to collaborate. You want to work with her. She's great. So I've seen her since, and it's a real loss. And I think there's I'd love to see someone like her back in, or her ilk. There are a couple of good people. There are a few good people up there, but fundamentally, for us, we have an agenda which we try and aspire to represent the great number of Victorians that see themselves reflected in our party, and they're different, right? They're different voices. They're different people. But I think we've, by and large, achieved that over the last 9 years.
And some of the really great feedback that was around Fiona was restoring some people's political faith to see the government working so collaborative on these big reform projects. And it was really unsexy stuff for the most part, you know, like a safe injecting room in Richmond. That's really tough to balance. Like you said, the safe access zones as well. They're really massive reforms, but exactly as you mentioned, we need to have a government that listens and that acts. And it was just that moment in history that we had 2 terms that fundamentally changed our state. So, Macca, it is a loss. We need more political voices, not less. We need people to stay engaged. We need people to be involved. And our crossbench, it doesn't look like it's going to be getting
any smaller. They're a very crossbench sometimes.
Have you found that throughout your political career, Steve, that has changed the dynamic of Parliament as the crossbench has grown over the years?
I've got to say, and this is, you can expect me to say this, but I think you know me, I'm not going to be gratuitous about opposition. This is about as bad as I've seen the Liberal Party generally in my 28 years involved in politics. I know I don't look like I've been involved 28 years, but I have.
You must have started very young.
Actually, I think it's 30. But so I think the bigger issue for me is actually the opposition in Victoria. And I'm not saying every individual. There's some really good people. I mean, who am I to say? My judgment is there are good people. And there's a handful. I don't know whether I should be talking about them, but I think Jess Wilson in Q is an excellent human being. I think Brad Roswell, Annabelle Cleland, some good people there. But generally that party is really problematic. And I reckon that's a real issue in terms of division and hate and the kind of narrative that we've despised, whether it be against our community, mm-hmm. whether it be against South Sudanese young men. I don't think it's the crossbenchers. I think they're marginal on those matters. It's the opposition, I think.
Because they're the alternative government. And, you know, I sometimes wonder, you know, occasionally MPs come in here and they say one thing to us. And then they, in the parliament, a piece of legislation or something comes up and they say something completely different. And it's like, well, what are they actually about? Do they believe in a particular issue or do they not? And I think sometimes, yes, you know, it is a broad church. But I do, you know, I'm with you. I think a strong opposition is so important to a good democracy. And, you know, otherwise you end up with a situation like in the UK, where the Tory party, you know, are a train wreck without a high-speed rail line. And, you know...
You like your expressions, don't you?
And, well, English people will know what I mean. And the, you know, and the Labor Party is going to stumble into office with a leader that stands for nothing. Like, so you have an opposition that become the government, you know, potentially. So a strong opposition is so important, much as you don't want them to be too strong, but it's very important.
I feel that we're I genuinely feel it's a fresh government. We had an election a year ago. Yep. You need to get Jacinta on this program. Has she been on
Saturday Magazine? Once before, no, we will.
She'll be great.
We've got to get past the, you know, the guard dogs.
There are no guard dogs.
Come on, ministerial offices.
I'll text her right now.
You know what it's like sometimes.
But she's awesome.
Great. Okay. You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Nevin. Our special guest is Steve Demopoulos, member for Oakley. Minister for Having Fun, stay with us.
We are on Saturday Magazine with Nevena, Macca and the Minister for Having Fun live in the studio.
Steve Demopoulos.
Steve, it is the summer of fun in Melbourne at the moment and there are so many events coming up. Is there anything in particular that's lighting up your calendar over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, look, Boxing Day test against Pakistan. So that's my first big gig for the next couple of weeks. Then we go into first big gig is Mum for Christmas.
Yeah.
and I'll tell you, that is bloody big. Then Boxing Day test. Then we've got effectively the best, best attended tennis open out of the four Grand Slams on the planet. It is the biggest.
I love it. It is. I'm obsessed.
Yep. And then we've got Groundhog Day, the musical, opens in January, so only London and Melbourne. And then we've got the Matildas, February 28th, against Uzbekistan. The Matildas are amazing.
Yeah.
You know when you open, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you open professional sport and you encourage women who've always had aptitude and skill. You actually bring in a whole range of different human intersectionality, gay women and, you know, women of colour like Sam Kerr. It's amazing. So Jacinta and I, the Premier and I, did the announcement last Monday on Matildas, and they were Lydia and one of the other midfielders, I can't remember, a goalie and midfielder was there with us. They were amazing. They're just great ambassadors. So they are probably the most iconic Australian sports team. Yeah. Male or female, right now. Then we've got the Grand Prix.
Yes.
So it's actually huge, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in between. You know, we've got the Titanic exhibition, the BBC Earth exhibition. Again, when you think of those things, they're either only in Melbourne or they're in only two places on Earth, right? So BBC exhibition, BBC Earth is only in London and Melbourne. It's good. It's an important thing, though. $3.3 billion worth of economic activity per annum in our major events calendar. And when you look at that, you think it's a workforce. It underpins a workforce. It underpins contractors and businesses and caterers. And tourism.
And fun.
And I mean, I think, you know, things like the Australian Open, and one of my colleagues at Joy, can't name this person, but said, who's works at the Australian Open, said, send a special hello to Dimmo, and said, you know, the support that, you know, tennis gets from the state government and events get, you know, really makes those events world class. And I sometimes, you know, people that, look, I'm a fan of the Grand Prix. You know, not everyone is. I understand that.
You're a rev head, aren't you?
I am. But I used to see in my 13 and a half years at Mercedes, where we had a facility there, the actual economic activity. And by that I mean the networking and the deals that were done at the Grand Prix, which is not counted in all the figures, huge amounts, tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars.
Okay, and what else is not counted is the tens of millions of people watching from overseas planning the next holiday.
Yeah.
As I said, the beautiful Albert Park Lake and the city skyline.
Yeah.
That's not counting the economic stats either.
Yeah.
So
I mean, those events are important. In terms of the agenda for the government, Steve, vilification legislation. It is coming, but then again, so is Christmas 2024. When can we see some legislation here? I know it's complex, I know it's difficult, but you know, it's not like this is the first time in the world.
Yeah.
We need this legislation, mate.
100%. And there was a very recent discussion with the Attorney General, and you will hear very soon about some consultation on the next phase. And I don't mean that to sound like I'm being vague. Very, very soon, but it's not my announcement to make.
Jacqueline
Symes. No, she's the Attorney General.
Hang on, I'll message her and ask her.
Can I'm 100% truth, really, what I'm saying. There's a recent discussion where she's going to take it out to the community for this second stage, more targeted consultation. It's meaningful. It's important.
Mm.
You know, we grew up in a time when people would say, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's so fundamentally untrue.
Yeah.
Words are hurtful.
They are.
They lead to actions that are also hurtful. So this stuff is important, and our government backs it and always has. So we want to be at the next frontier of it. So you'll hear very, very soon from Jacqueline Symes and probably Harriet.
January?
Mecca.
It's up to them.
I'm the Minister for the Environment, Outdoor Recreation.
I want to talk about the vilification environment. Okay. We've seen, you know, political parties have lots of different candidates, and there's some news during the week of a trans person who wants to stand as a candidate in Kooyong for the Liberal Party, and I think this is fantastic. You know, diversity and representation is so important. Of course, whether that person gets pre-selection and whether or not they win, I have a feeling Monique might be a bit hard to dislodge. But that's important, isn't it? That diversity in candidates. Not that we're endorsing a particular candidate. We wouldn't dare.
No. It is important because fundamentally groupthink. If you look at just now our parliament, the entire parliament, 128 individuals, we've reached 50% female.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
First time in history. And, of course, I've got to say, the Labor Party has done the heavy lifting on that in Victoria. It doesn't matter. It's still 50%. That should no longer be news of diversity. That just should be what it always is, right? The reality of who we're representing, 6.3 million Victorians, half of whom are women, for God's sake. But when you're looking at intersectionality like trans and people of colour and other things, that is meaningful because you get away from this kind of, you don't realise we all think quite similarly until someone confronts you with a different conceptual framework, and you sort of think, oh, that's unusual. And the problem is you can lull yourself into a false sense of security. And my issue is particularly not just hearing from people who are trans, but also hearing from people who, I mean, this is harder to do, but out in the outer suburbs or in the regions, people who are socioeconomically nowhere near where we might be.
Yeah.
There's a whole range of different voices that we want to bring to the table. And I want to make sure in my portfolios, I don't just hear from, to be honest with you, middle-class people either.
Yeah.
So it's not just about trans, but I love the fact that the Liberal Party is now confronted with having to make a decision internally, because that also gives me some faith that the change even comes into the Liberal Party, because it has to at some point. It's just they're confronted with reality, and there are good people there, I think, who can make good choices.
Yeah.
One of your other portfolios that doesn't get as much airtime is outdoor recreation. Yes. What does that mean over summer, and how do you manage that particular part of your work?
I love it. Like the Premier put outdoor recreation, environment and tourism in the same person, same office. Obviously, they are important in and of their own right themselves. The environment absolutely needs a guardian and a protector, but we also need to celebrate the natural environment and through outdoor recreation, through activities like tourism and sports. And so outdoor recreation, so I'm responsible apparently for for stocking fish into Victorian waterways.
Personally?
It's like Santa Claus, a big day ahead of me for Christmas. But look, it involves boating and fishing, licensing arrangements, maritime safety, together with Melissa Horn, who's a Minister for Ports, as a joint sort of custodianship. I do the rec side, she does the non-rec side. It involves native bird hunting, so that's going to be a decision the government will make.
Well, that's easy. That's easy. No more duck shooting and greyhound racing. You need... You know, I know your colleague.
If the people listening can see, Macca is pointing his whole hand towards my face. Saying, it's easy, just do this, just do this. But it does involve four-wheel driving and, mountain bike, mountain climbing and a whole range of those things. I had a little bit of a big night last night, ladies and gentlemen, so
you wouldn't know it looking at you.
A bit rusty this morning. But fundamentally for us, we are 3% of the Australian landmass, this state. We have so much. We're the food bowl of the country.
Yes.
We're within an hour and a half, 2 hours from Melbourne. There are some of the best places you'll ever see in terms of natural environment, natural beauty. And we want to make all of those available, respectful of Aboriginal cultural heritage, respectful of biodiversity, but available to the public because they are generally free and they're generally low cost. And we want people to be able to enjoy them. So that's my task, to make more of those natural environments available to Victorians.
We have a great listener comment from 317. Yes, very healthy to have people who challenge your view. Love Steve's mindset.
Yes.
And I think it goes back to that earlier conversation that we were having. The more diverse our parliament is, the more representative it is. And sometimes we are going to be challenged by different points of view. That is healthy as long as we're respectful about it.
Yeah,
spot on.
And what does January look like to you? Do you also do Orthodox Christmas in January?
No. So most Greek Orthodox people do 25th of December, but there is a different calendar for a portion of the Greek community and other Orthodox that do, I think, 7th of
January.
Ours is a big, fat Greek Christmas. But interestingly, on this occasion, my nephews, because I've got three beautiful nephews, 18, 17 and 14, my sister, her husband, mum and dad, me and my husband, and they said, oh, we're a bit bored of being at grandma's house, can we come to yours? So we're hosting Christmas. However, Mum is bringing all the food.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect.
So does that come in a van or a bus?
What I was going to say. Yeah, Greek mum's never under food.
So that's – and then January, I'm back on deck on the 8th of Jan, and I'm really champing at the bit, interestingly, even though it's the end of the year, to get into it because – as I say, genuinely, this I've got a gift. Jacinta gave me a gift. The Premier gave me a gift with this portfolio. I love the colleagues I work with, including Harriet, the only other gay in the village. And it's a great opportunity to do some incredible things. So January looks like a bit of fun with the tennis,
yeah,
but a fair bit of work as well.
We're out of time, unfortunately, and you are coming back in January, but I don't have it open because I can't look at the. But you are coming back in January, I know. Your office have...
do what you tell me, and thank you for the gifts.
No, and our next guest, you'll be interested in this, ex-Police Commissioner Graham Ashton, is going to talk to us about his review into greyhound racing in South Australia. I encourage your ministerial colleague, the Minister for Racing. What's his name?
Anthony Carbines.
That's right. He used to work for Bronnie Pike, didn't he, many years ago?
Yes.
Well, Anthony... have a listen. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9 with Macca and Nevena. Thank you, Steve Demopoulos. Have a lovely day on Christmas Day.
Don't eat
too much. Or, of course, if you don't, your mother will say, what, you're not eating?
Thank you, Saturday Magazine. I love being here. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
It's a pleasure. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.